The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Predators are in action tonight on the road, taking on Connor Bedard and the Chicago Blackhawks. Puck drop at 7:30. So we'll have all of your pregame coverage starting right here at 6:30 p.m. on 102.5 and 106.3 of The Game. So since there is a Predators game tonight, no Willie Donick for the first couple of hours. We'll catch up with Willie at 1 p.m. But D-Mays is here on a Friday. D-Mays, how we doing?
Hey, it's doing well. It's a nice, beautiful day outside. So that's all I need is a little sunshine.
It is beautiful out today. Uh-huh. It's going to be a beautiful weekend.
Absolutely. So I'm taking full advantage of it.
As you should.
Which means I'm going to be on my back patio. That's it.
Just sit, enjoy the sunshine.
Exactly.
Listen to some tunes.
Be away from people.
There you go. Yeah, you there know. You go.
Except my people, but just be away from
but just
other
from
people.
People in general. Yeah. Just a nice little social battery recharge.
Exactly.
Kentucky has a new coach, which was met with a lot of excitement. Everyone's super excited about it. Everyone loves the hire. Just kidding. do you remember on Thanksgiving when Mark Stoops, all of these reports were leaked that Mark Stoops was going to be the next head coach at Texas A&M? Mm-hmm. And there was so much backlash on social media from Texas A&M fans. Like, literal sky is falling kind of backlash so bad that Texas A&M said, whoa, maybe we should reevaluate this. I thought we were going to have another one of those last night whenever it was announced that Mark Pope was going to be the next head coach of Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a former Wildcat. So he has a history with the program, was on the, 97 championship team.
He played under Patino.
Patino. So it was the 97, I believe, 97 championship game. Went to Baylor. He's had some success, but not success that would invigorate, I guess, on first sight invigorate a program. Yeah. He hasn't had that type of success.
It's not the name that's like, exactly. Oh, yeah, we got it.
Hurley invigorates your program once again. Jay Williams invigorates Donovan. These guys that have won championships or have winning pedigree, they invigorate your fan base. This might have put them to sleep.
And even I questioned how much Scott Drew really moved the needle and how much he really invigorated the fan base. And that's nothing against Scott Drew. I think it was more so the expectations at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And Scott Drew won a national championship.
Yeah.
So we will get back into that. I want to get your reaction to that. But I want to start here on something that we heard from Brian Callahan in his press conference earlier this past week. Everything that we talk about in the offseason, D-Mace, whether it was in free agency, all of the conversations that we're having leading up to the draft, every single one of those conversations has a caveat or an asterisk of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. That everything that we have talked about throughout this offseason, the moves that the Titans have made throughout this offseason, is for what? To benefit the quarterback, mm-hmm. to get the quarterback more weapons, to protect the quarterback. Every time we talk about expectations for the team this season, it's couched with, well, that all depends on Will Levis's development. It's all about the quarterback. Because if Will Levis turns into the next Tom Brady, then we're not going to be talking about, you know, the third or fourth wide receiver on this mm-hmm. team. We're going to be talking about, well, we got our quarterback. Those are the conversations that Cincinnati has. Those are the conversations that Kansas City has. Mm-hmm. We got our quarterback, so we're good. And if Will Levis doesn't come to fruition, if Will Levis doesn't take steps forward, well, then you're not going to be very good. And you're probably going to be picking a quarterback here in the near future. Mm-hmm. So it all has to do with the quarterback. And a lot of that has to do with how Brian Callahan helps the quarterback. Mm-hmm. There was one thing that really stuck out to me that Brian Callahan said in his press conference. A lot of things,
yeah,
frankly,
he said a lot of things.
That stuck out to me about Brian Callahan, but especially as far as Will Levis is concerned. Mm-hmm. This was Brian Callahan earlier this week on Will Levis's development, not just on the field, but off as well.
It's a two-pronged process. It kind of happens simultaneously, but if you ever were to ask anybody that plays what comes first, and obviously the performance comes first. And so he's going to pour into learning a new system, learning what's asked of him, how to execute at a high level. And in his operation of learning, he can help get the information of the other guys on the offense. And that's where you start to take on a leadership role. But as a leader, you always got to make sure you're taking care of what you need to take care of first, so that your example at the minimum is what you want people to follow. And I think he's done a really good job of that. But there's an element where he's got two things going on. He's trying to build relationships and be a leader, as well as learn an entirely new way of doing and playing football than he's been accustomed to in his first year. So he's got a lot on his plate.
That was Brian Callahan again mm-hmm. earlier in this week. And there was another clip where he mentioned as well, he's like, look, I want Will to be him. Mm-hmm. Like, I want him to be himself. I don't want to tell him what to do. I don't want to tell him how to act. This was Brian Callahan.
Just from what I've seen so far, and again, I'm still learning Will every day that goes on. But he's got an intensity and an intent to every time he walks in the building. That's, I think you see that in his play. When you watch him play, you see that intensity, that fire that he's got. That's not manufactured. That's how he is. He's got a way about him that is driven. I think he wants to be a great player, and he puts the requisite work in. That part's been fun to see. Just as you see him in the offseason, he went out to California to work with some people. He's very determined to improve his game, and I think that part, you have that part, you got a chance to do a lot of really cool things. But I've seen that from him in this early portion. He is front and center. He takes notes. He asks questions. He does all the things you'd want to see early in the process of a guy that's trying to improve his game and get better.
And again, another thing that really stuck out to me was how Brian Callahan said, I just want him to be himself. Mm-hmm. I want him to be the kind of leader that he wants to be. I'm not going to be breathing down his neck. I'm not going to be hanging over his shoulder and telling him where to be and when he needs to be there and how to act when he is there. I just want him to be himself. Look, I have no idea what Will Levis is going to become in this league. And I have no idea what Will Levis is going to look like this season. I don't know what the Brian Callahan era with the Tennessee Titans is going to look like. I don't know if he's going to look like a genius, and I don't know if he's going to look like a buffoon. But I do hope it's the former rather than the latter. So I don't know how this quarterback and coaching relationship is going to work, or what the future holds for this marriage between Brian Callahan and Will Levis. But just based off of what we heard Brian Callahan say there, how do you feel at this point in the season, not just about Will Levis and not just about Brian Callahan, but kind of the marriage between the two?
It's going to be a work in progress. You know, Will has to trust Brian and Holtz, and they have to trust Will. They have to trust that he leads in his own way. They have to trust that it will come. They can't put a time clock on, you know, when his leadership is going to show up and how it's going to show up and manifest itself. You got to let a young quarterback lead and find his space in his time. You know, he was coming off of a season where he, you know, he did some good things and he did some things that he needed to improve on. Last year wasn't his team. Even when he became the starting quarterback, it still wasn't his team. I think everybody deferred more probably to Derrick Henry, somebody like that that has been there, that has been through, you know, some of these hard fought games. But now this becomes his team. But he has to do it in a way that doesn't come off as, you know, phony. And that's what Brian said. Listen, what he's doing, it's genuine. It's not coming off as concocted or this is not who I am or, you know, I act this way in the building, but when I'm outside the building, I'm something totally different. With the quarterback, they have to see, you know, they have to see that consistency across the board. And that's what I said. He's going to, and I've said this before, he's just going to have to find his way, find out what's best on how to lead for him. He can't try to do it like, you know, Ryan Tannehill did it. Can't do it like Derrick Henry did it. He may take bits and pieces from them, but he has to then do it his own way. Because if he doesn't do it his way genuinely, then it comes off as, all right, this dude, he's really not, you know, he's really not a leader. He's just posing as a leader. But again, from what I've seen, it seems like he's headed down the right road. I tell you that. He has energy. He seems to want to get better each and every week. And, you know, that's all you can ask of a young player is to come in, work your tail off, get better, and especially a quarterback, and lead in your own way. Because being a quarterback, you are the leader 365 days of the year. That's just the way it is. You are the face of the franchise. So there are things that you can do, and there are things that you can't do. You can be yourself, but even in being yourself, you got to know there are things I can't do, things I can do, things I can't say, things I can say, mm-hmm. you know, as a quarterback. And he will learn this as the season goes on.
And that is 100% true. And that's something that we talked about. I know around this time a couple of years ago when Ryan Tannehill was posting photos on the boat mm-hmm. with this Celsius ad. And it's like, look, I get it's voluntary workouts, mm-hmm. but you're the quarterback, dude.
Exactly.
And what you say, what you post, where you are and where you aren't, mm-hmm. all of that is a headline. All yeah. of that is going to be topic of conversation. You're the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I look at, you know, Brian Callahan and his experience in Cincinnati. And I don't want to compare Joe Burrow and Will Levis because they are not the same. Mm-hmm. But, and, you know, on the field, off the field, personality-wise. But when Brian Callahan talks about that, of like, look, he's learning how to be a leader, and I'm going to give him the space to do that. Mm-hmm. You've been around rookie quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco was a rookie when you were in Baltimore. Yeah. How important, in your opinion, mm-hmm. do you think it is to have a coaching staff letting, and I know he's not a rookie, mm-hmm. but let a young quarterback kind of come into fruition on his own?
I think it's critical because it's like go learn for the quarterback. It's trial by error, mm-hmm. new quarterback. Some things you do may work. Some things you do may not work. Some the way you approach certain things may work. The way you approach other things may not work. You got to be constantly evaluating your leadership qualities as a quarterback because it's every time you – you never stop being a leader.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. That position, you never stop being a leader. Why do you see these guys, you never hear most of these quarterbacks, you don't hear about them during the season. Some dabble in social media and stuff like that. But for the most part, these guys are locked into what they're doing because they know the responsibility they have is greater than everybody else's on that team. Mm-hmm. Because not only do you have to be the leader for the offense, you have to be the leader for the defense, which in turn means you're the leader for the whole team. So, I mean, you just got to let it. They allow Joe to grow into his leadership.
Yeah.
What was good with Joe and may not be as good for Will, Joe had a bunch of veteran guys around him, a bunch of leaders around him. So he didn't feel pressure to go in there and when he was named the starting quarterback and to be that guy.
And it was it was first overall pick pressure.
Yeah, but I mean, the pressure for Joe, because he wasn't supposed to start his rookie year. He wasn't. No, Troy Smith was designated the starter at the beginning of the year in camp because Steve had just retired. They drafted Joe. Troy was there. Troy had finished a few games.
You said Joe, I'm thinking Burrow.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were just talking about Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco. I'm talking about the leadership and being young and everything.
That's why I was confused. Please continue.
Yeah, so, no, but Joe had other leaders on that team, and he was just allowed to sort of come into it his own way. Watch other guys. Don't feel that he has to be the rah-rah guy. Just go in and play your game. Show up every day. That gains respect. That allows you to be a leader even more. When you show up every day, prepared, ready to go, first one in, last one to leave, stuff like that, doing the extra things, that stuff helps. Doing things in the locker room, picking up stuff, you know, that's on the ground, making sure the locker room, all of that stuff means something when it comes to being a leader of the team. And these are the things that he's going to have to find out, just like the things that Joe had to find out his rookie year. He didn't automatically pick it up in day one. It took throughout the season. And then once he got it, he got it. And he had proven that not only can this guy ball, but yeah, he's a damn good leader as well.
Respect the hell out of him.
Exactly. And they respect that because he showed up every day. That's what Will has to do. No matter what's going on, no matter who's injured, who's not, you have to show up every day. You can't have off days as a leader and a quarterback of a team.
And from Will Levis's perspective, it was probably a pretty uncomfortable feeling of, okay, I step into the starting role. I'm figuring out who I am on this team, what my role is on the field, off the field, in the locker room as a leader. You know, I'm getting, you know, my first year, I'm just getting acclimated to what my expectations are. And then the coach gets fired. Everything that I thought that I knew about this team, now I don't know what coach is going to come in and if they're going to like me or not. Mm-hmm. Because what if that next head coach came in and said, you know what, we really don't really like this Will Levis guy. We'll hope for the best and we'll get through this year, but we really want to find our guy. Like, that very well could have been the case.
Yeah.
And I'm sure those thoughts were going through Will Levis's head. Go through my head, mm-hmm, if I were in his position. That he thought, okay, well, I just spent a year with this entire coaching staff and I knew what was expected of me. I was carving out my role. I was building these relationships with the coaching staff. And now I have to start over. Now everything is new again. That's a scary feeling. So I'm sure for Will Levis, hearing Brian Callahan say those things, talk about how, you know, he's working on himself as a leader, acknowledging that Will Levis has a full plate, mm-hmm, because he does.
Yeah.
Because he's stepping into year two. He needs to be better on the field. He's going to take on a larger role off the field as a leader. That's a lot. That's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure to a certain extent, from Will Levis's perspective, it's probably very reassuring and almost calming to a sense to hear your new head coach, mm-hmm, with a sense of all of this uncertainty before Brian Callahan and this new coaching staff came in, to hear him say things like that publicly. Mm-hmm. And I think that that kind of support matters. Whenever we talk about new quarterbacks getting, uh-huh, drafted and becoming the next guy, the new starter, we talk about, you know, are they going to boom or are they going to bust? Are they going to be successful or are they not? Baker, I think, is the perfect example, mm-hmm, of that. First overall pick, very high expectations. The Cleveland Browns viewed him as the answer, mm-hmm, for their franchise. But what we don't talk about enough, I don't think, is the fact that Baker was in an incredibly tumultuous situation. Yeah. A constant revolving door of head coach and offensive coordinator. That there wasn't the infrastructure in place in Cleveland for a young quarterback to be able to survive. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence in his first year in Jacksonville. What if Urban Meyer never got fired? Maybe we look at Trevor Lawrence in a completely different light. Having that sense of stability, I think, is incredibly important for a young quarterback. Now, does that exist behind the scenes? Mm-hmm. We're about to find out. But at least I get the sense and I get the feeling and the vibe from Brian Callahan every time he talks to the media that they are going to give Will Levis whatever he needs to be successful.
Well, they have to. I think you would be doing the franchise an injustice if you don't give your quarterback every resource that he needs to be successful. You know, I think the most beneficial part here is going to be, and not many people, no one's talking about it, and I don't understand why. There were several instances last year, and this is not, I'm not saying, I think Vrabel is a good coach. I think he is. I think his voice just got, you know, sometimes the voice gets kind of stale in the locker room. And maybe you need a different voice in the locker room. But he is a good coach. But I think the advantage that many people are not talking about, no one's talking about, the advantage is this. There were several times last year where questions were asked of Mike Vrabel. And he was, I didn't play that position, so I can't tell you how to coach it. I didn't play quarterback. I can't tell you how to, and he was right. He was absolutely right. But not many times you hear coaches say things like that. Like, yeah, I didn't kick football, so I can't tell you what's going on.
I also think Vrabel was saying that just to kind of be an ass.
Yeah, he probably was, but it was true. But it was true.
Yeah.
It was true. Here's the thing. Brian Callahan, you will never get that from him. Why? Because he's coached the position. He's been around the position. So when questions are asked about Will Levis, he can answer those questions. He doesn't say, I defer to this guy, or I don't play the position, so I don't know what it really entails, but they do got a lot on their plate. Well, Brian knows that Will has a lot on his plate. He's been around guys, Burrow, Manny, that had a lot on their plate. And how did they react and how did they operate in the midst of having all that stuff on their plate? That is going to be valuable for Will Levis. Mm-hmm. It wasn't valuable for Will Levis last year because the head coach couldn't relate with him. You know, when your head coach can relate to you and your offensive coordinator can relate to you, you have a leg up now. Now there's not a question that I can't bring even if the offensive coordinator is not available for me, I can go right to the head coach and the head coach can explain everything. Mm-hmm. That's an advantage of Will. That's an advantage that Brian Callahan has that Mike Vrabel didn't. Mike Vrabel's a hell of a coach, but Mike didn't play that position. He has someone that has coached that position with two damn good quarterbacks. One is a Hall of Famer, and it seems the other one's going to be trending toward that way if he can stay on the field. So that is valuable for Will Levis, that I can go directly to the source and get all of my questions answered. He couldn't do that last year.
And I think that's probably a big reason why mm-hmm. Brian Callahan was hired
exactly.
as the next head coach.
Because he can relate to the quarterback.
Because he has the track record uh-huh. of developing young quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That he did it with Joe Burrow. And again, I'm not saying that Will Levis is Joe Burrow. But let's say Joe Burrow was drafted into a situation where he didn't have that kind of support. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're not talking about Joe Burrow the way that we're talking about Joe Burrow now.
Last year.
Jake yes, Browning. That's a great example. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're going to start today. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on that. Your reaction overall to what Brian Callahan had to say in his press conference earlier this week, and specifically what he had to say about Will Levis. We'll continue this conversation coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
For Levis, how do you go about that process of like making him establish himself as the leader? Like, do you pull him aside, pour more time into him, or like how do you do that?
I want Will to be him. He's got to do it in his own way, and you can't make people do anything that's outside of their character or doesn't come across as genuine. And I think Will does a really good job of staying true to who he is. And there's obviously things along the way that I think are important, and I'll make sure that I convey those to him. But I'm not going to ask him to go be anybody that he's uncomfortable being. I need Will to just be the best version of himself. And he's got a job to do as the leader of the offense, as a leader of the football team. And I think he understands that. And I think that's the biggest part, is understanding what your role is and that you have to be visible. People have to see you. You have to make sure you're building the same relationships that I have to build as the head coach. You're building them with everybody across the team because the team needs to see you and ultimately have a relationship where they believe in you. And I think that obviously went a long way of doing that last year. In his time that he played as the starter, I think he started to realize how important it was. I've been very pleased with his demeanor, his actions as he started the offseason program. And again, we're in our first few days, but really excited about where he's headed in that role. And so, again, there's going to be – we have a lot of resources here. I told all the quarterbacks the other day that one of the unique parts about playing quarterback in the NFL is you have a staff of people that have a ton of experience We've got guys from all over the league on both sides of the ball. Use our intellectual property. Ask them questions. Talk to guys. And if you can find something that helps you, there's a lot of people here that are willing to do that. So I think that he understands that there's a seeking nature to where he's at right now as well, is trying to find out all the information he can from every which way he can find it.
That was Brian Callahan in his press conference earlier this week. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. I'm just trying to put myself into Will Levis's shoes of, you know, where he's at this point in his career, where there's a lot of unknown for us. There's still a lot of establishing that Will Levis has to do. But I'm trying to think of, if I'm Will Levis and I'm hearing that, they're probably breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief of like, that's my coach. My coach has my back.
Yeah, I mean, but you know that you got to go out there and you got to perform. You know, Brian Callahan said something in there that Will has to understand. Those same relationships that Brian makes, Will has to make too. Those same room Brian is in, Will has to enter those rooms as well. He can't make it one-sided. He can't just, you know, be so offensive driven. Now, his priority is to lead the offense, but you must find time for everyone. It's like being a quarterback is like being a politician, but here's the difference. In the NFL world, we don't care who you are. If you can't play, we're going to tell you you can't play. Mm-hmm. I don't care if we like you or we don't like you. If we for you or we're not for you. If you're our relative or not our relative. If you're not playing that quarterback position the right way, we're going to let you know. Mm-hmm. And eventually it might get you up out of that seat. Politicians, they stick with you no matter what. You can be leading them down a road to disaster. Some people just walk right along with you and don't care because you have them so wrapped up in what you're saying. Being an NFL quarterback is a politician, but the only difference is, as a constituent, if you ain't doing the things you need to be doing, we're going to let you know. Yeah. And then you're going to be out there. We ain't going to follow you foolishly. Or we're going to get the second guy in to come in and get the job done. I think Will, this first year, last year, the games that he played, I think he proved to people he started gaining their respect. Mm-hmm. One, because of his toughness. He's a tough son of a gun. And guys appreciate that. Guys, in the world of, you know, flopping and staying on the ground and, oh, my toe hurts, so I got to miss 8 games, Will Levis is an anomaly.
He'll walk straight into the fire.
He's one of those guys that he has an old school mentality. Like, he's going to stand in there and he's going to fight with you. And that team respect that more than anything. And then he showed that he can play. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you just continue to build on that, we're going to follow you because we see in you the things that makes those quarterbacks great. We see some of those things in you. Now, obviously, you got to get better.
Right.
And you got to continue to progress as a quarterback. But we see some of those little things in you that is going to cause us to follow you because we know this ain't a facade. We know this ain't just lip service. Mm-hmm. You're putting in the work, you're doing what's being asked of you, and then you're going out there and you're performing.
That's the key. Like, he's still got to play well.
Exactly. He has to play well no matter what. They can love you. Mm-hmm. They can respect you. But if you're not getting results, you're out of there.
Like, I think the Saints locker room adores Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they absolutely love him.
But he's not a starter. He's not a starter.
Right. He's not a starting quarterback in the National Football League. So all of that being said, with an asterisk and also with the second part of the conversation of it's got to show up on the field.
Yes.
Of you've got to win football games. Mm-hmm. And he's shown flashes of that. He at least showed us flashes of that last season. The comeback against Miami, his debut against Atlanta.
The way he played against Pittsburgh.
Even in a loss.
Exactly.
I thought he played pretty well against Pittsburgh, all factors considered with that absolute crap offensive line. So he made some mistakes.
Yes.
That offensive line or not, he made some mistakes. Mm-hmm. And rookies are going to make mistakes. And now here comes, okay, are those rookie mistakes over with? Have you learned from those mistakes? And it's as much of an important factor is the on-the-field play, because, of course, like, they're going to love you and adore you if you're winning games, mm-hmm. just like the Patriots loved and adored Tom Brady, because it was like, we've got Tom, so we're yes. good. Like, a certain sense of security there, a certain sense of we're going to win enough games as long as Tom's mm-hmm. our quarterback. I don't think that we can understate the other factor of that, the things that we don't see mm-hmm. and the things that we can't see behind the scenes, the things that Brian Callahan was just talking about mm-hmm. of Will Levis stepping up and being a leader and also leading by example. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those things are, things that behind the scenes that fans will not see. Even some people in the building may not see it. But those little small things go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in a receiver's room with the receivers, pulling guys aside, talking with them, understanding them, not just from a football standpoint, understanding them just as people, knowing how to approach certain people. That's why you got to get to know them. That's why I say he has to cross the other side of the river, which means the defensive side. He has to always have a bridge from the offense to the defense where he can travel back and forth anytime he pleases. He has to, just like Brian Callahan has an open door policy,
mm-hmm.
Will Levis has to have that same open door policy. He has to, because individuals are going to want to come ask him questions, whether you're on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. And you have to accept that as a leader. You can't just say, well, I'm for the offense. No, defense might have questions on things that you're doing, that they're seeing. They may see things that you don't see and tell you. So your door has to always be open for those guys. And you have to be inviting.
Mm-hmm.
Do your job. Be a leader. But you always have to be inviting to everybody. That's what Brian Callahan means. Like, he has some of those things that I do, you got to do too. Because you are the face. I'm the head coach. I'm the leader. I get it. But you are the face. You're going to end up being the face of this franchise, which in turn means being the leader. So some of those things that I'm doing, some of those rooms that I got to walk into, people that I got to talk to, and I'm only talking about from a football standpoint, you have to be willing to go in those same rooms. You have to be willing to communicate, to sort of, vibe with them. Because if you don't, it's going to become one-sided. And then you're not going to have the support that you need from your team. You got to walk both, as politicians say, you got to go across both aisles.
Yeah, exactly.
You truly have to go across both aisles when you're a quarterback of a franchise.
There's a little bit of politicking involved
exactly.
in,
absolutely.
In being a quarterback. Like, I'll go back to Ryan Tannehill's mentorship comments. Mm-hmm. Technically, he wasn't wrong.
No,
but
like,
you're the quarterback,
yes.
And when you say things like that, they're going to get nitpicked and mm-hmm. torn apart and overanalyzed.
Exactly. Like, they go ask the third string quarterback that question. He can say that. Why? He's not the leader of the team.
Yeah.
So he can say that. But when that question is posed to the leader of the team, you got to have a better response than, it's not my, I'm not to be his mentor. Even though that may be true, you may think that. You can't say that. You are the leader.
Mm-hmm.
You are the mentor for this young man because you're the leader and everybody's watching you.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking at you. That's the part that Will is going to have to really, truly understand now. The football stuff is going to come for him, I believe. But he has to understand, everybody's counting. Everybody in this locker room, in this building, is counting on me to do my job at a level that is going to produce wins. That is a lot of pressure if you're not able to handle it.
And if he can't do it, then all of this is moot.
Oh, it'll show if he can't do it. It'll show up.
That if you can't win football games, nobody cares mm-hmm. how great of a leader you
yeah.
are. Nobody cares how many meetings you sit mm-hmm. in. Nobody cares how much you prepare. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Like, we'll let the football do the talking, mm-hmm. and we'll see throughout this season how many steps forward Will Levis truly has taken. But
mm-hmm.
for now, that's all we got.
Yeah.
And we'll let the football do the talking in the fall. Want to get into some of your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. And our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter texts in, says, why would Rand hire a coach that doesn't want the quarterback that he just drafted? What you're saying makes no sense. I'm sure Levis wasn't scared that Callahan wouldn't like him. You don't think Rand did his due diligence to find someone that can work with the team that he's put together? Jesus.
It's not that, people. Whenever a new coach comes into a situation. He didn't draft you. He did not draft you. So he has to build that rapport and that relationship with you. And you want to try to build it as organically and as quickly as you can. Because there are some situations where the head coach walk in and you just not his guy. That's just the way it is.
And if Will Levis felt that way, I don't blame him. I'm talking about what Will Levis was feeling.
Exactly.
The anxiety that he could have been feeling throughout the coaching search. I'm not talking about what happened in real life.
Exactly. Every guy, when there's change, every guy needs to be on their P's and Q's.
Totally.
Everybody needs to walk in as if, you know, yeah, my job is next. Like, I need to prepare like I'm about to lose my job.
Like when Rand came in and he said something about Bud Dupree. Uh-huh. Like, you know, we'll evaluate. Like the next morning, Bud Dupree was gone.
Exactly. So when new GMs or new head coaches come in, sometimes you may not be their guy. But you always, even though you've been in the league a long time, there's still that filling out phase between you and the head coach. Because frankly, yeah, he may have to work with you, but he may not like you. You know, y'all got to feel that and y'all got to smooth all that stuff out. So it's just not, we just can't say, oh, it's just going to happen. Or it's just like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. We got a new coach. Don't worry. The quarterback will be okay. No, it's not. It doesn't work that way. You have to build that relationship with the head coach, and the head coach has to build it with you. And it's not always going to be peachy creamy. Mm-hmm. It's not. So y'all have to find that sort of dance that y'all can dance together that's going to be beneficial for the whole team.
And to the texter's point, I don't think that Amy would have hired a coach
that
absolutely despised the quarterback. Nor do I think that the coach interviewing for a head coaching position would say, I absolutely hate the quarterback
while in an interview. Right now, I don't hate him, nor do I like him. I don't know him.
You can see something in him and say, okay, I can work with that. And
absolutely.
Then once you start working with him, you're like, nah, I can't.
I've seen some good things, but his personality is just all, I just can't.
I want my guy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that does happen.
It happens. It happens with GMs. It happens with coaches. It happens with owners. It happens all the time. Chip in Mount Juliet says, it's refreshing to hear pleasant media output from Callahan versus Vrabel. What I don't want to do is get into the habit of everything this guy does is awesome and everything that the last guy did was horrible. Mm. But I will say that was a very pleasant press conference.
Mm-hmm. But no,
and there were a lot of not pleasant press conferences that Vrabel did.
But here's the thing. Everybody, we're in honeymoon stage.
Exactly.
When Vrabel was in his honeymoon stage, everything sounded great. But then he got a few years into that relationship with just the media and everything else. Yeah, and it became not so great. He became a little crouchety. He became a little angry, a little, you know, just.
A little.
Probably a lot to some people. Yes, but he just became.
What are you doing with your hands, Joe?
Yeah, he just started going off on people. For what reason? I don't know. He just got tired. So right now, this is how it's supposed to be, people. It's supposed to be peachy creamy. Come back to me when they've lost 2-3 in a row. Hopefully that never happens, but more than likely it will happen when you lose 2 in a row, maybe even 3. Come to me after that and see how his press conferences sound then. Because right now, you're getting a good Brian Callahan. You're getting a Brian Callahan that ain't lost a game yet. He's 0-0.
Uh-huh.
He ain't lost a game yet.
He's batting 1,000
exactly,
right now.
Exactly, batting 1,000 right now. So you're getting a good, I feel good. Uh-huh. I feel refreshed. Yeah, lose some games and see what kind of Brian Callahan you're going to get then.
And that's exactly kind of the point that I was making about Will Levis as well, is everything can sound great right now.
Absolutely.
Let's talk in November, and then we'll reevaluate.
Yeah.
Coming up next, I heard something from Charles Robinson when he was on with Robbie and Rexard yesterday. I was on the floor. I simply passed away. And we'll get into that coming up next. Score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. So go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. That is leecompany.com/giveaway in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. Lee Company, all you need.
And number three, the Patriots had another individual who said, you know, hey, look around the quarterback workouts. their QB stack. Now it's early still. We're still talking about early April. But their QB stack could have McCarthy at the very top. Like, not as the third quarterback off the board, not as the second quarterback off the board, but the Patriots may actually like him as the first quarterback coming off the board, which to me is just, I'm shocked by this, but as I reached out and started to hit up different teams and say, like, how is this real? How is this really happening? More and more individuals were just saying, look, when you really dive into the tape, he's doing NFL things on tape. And he's, when he's put into situations where they need a play, they need something to happen, particularly these third and five, third and six situations, third and five plus, third and six plus, he's coming through. He's turning his back on defenses way more consistently than basically every other quarterback at the top of this draft, meaning he takes snaps under center. He does play action. He just does things that when NFL evaluators are watching J.J. McCarthy, they're going, okay, that translates. Like, we know what that looks like on the NFL level versus a number of these quarterbacks that never turn their back on defenses and only take snaps out of shotgun.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it for a single second. There's not even an itty-bitty little tiny ounce in my body that believes that the New England Patriots view J.J. McCarthy as the number one quarterback in this year's draft. There is no way. No way.
Listen, if that is truly... hey, listen, you can't tell people how to evaluate, you know, quarterbacks or any position for that fact.
And
for that
much
matter.
Smarter people than yeah. I am. So I could
But
be
to have
wrong.
Him as your number, supposedly, to have him as your number one quarterback, that means you, like, what are you, I heard him say underneath center and all that other stuff.
And he could do play
yeah,
action.
What? Play action. Like,
you're
okay.
Quarterback in the draft because you play action?
There's
what?
A lot of quarterbacks that can do that.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of quarterbacks that can go underneath center. I mean, I'm sure Caleb Williams go underneath center if he wants to. He can turn his back to play action. I'm sure Drake May can do it. I'm sure Daniels can do it as well. So what has caused or what potentially has caused New England, what did they see to put him as their number one quarterback? I mean, listen, moves like that get you fired if it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It gets you fired immediately. If it doesn't work, because if you got a chance to draft guys that have really proven their worth at the collegiate level, and I'm talking because we assume Caleb will go first, I'm talking Drake May and Daniels, guys that have proven like they can flat out play. You pass up those two if they're there for you, and you get J.J. McCarthy, and if it doesn't work, all y'all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's gone. So, you know. I think he's a good quarterback. I've seen a lot of him. I've seen a lot of his play because him being in the Big Ten and me watching the Big Ten a lot. But it was nothing like, wow, like I got it, like, wow, this mm-hmm. dude, he's a good quarterback. Now, maybe they think they can get even more out of him. Like his ceiling is a little bit higher.
Yeah.
He's not a bad quarterback, but he's not, you know, this great blue chip quarterback either. He's a good quarterback. And the bad part about it is that you, because of their offense, you don't know if Jim Harbaugh purposely didn't let him pass as much or, like, because of the offense, or he just didn't think he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So which one is – because you're screaming he's this great quarterback.
Yeah.
But there was a game against – I think it was Maryland or someone in the second half – he didn't throw the ball at all. And it was a tight game. Well, they end up running away with it because they end up running the football.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't because of he didn't lose them games, but he didn't necessarily win them games either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were a good team. They were a flat out good team. And they ran the football and played really good defense. And the quarterback he didn't mess the game up. I think he's a good quarterback, but when you start talking about the number one quarterback in the draft, I'm not sure about that.
And it makes me think, are the Patriots putting that out there mm-hmm. to create some sort of smokescreen to say, oh, well, you know, if I'm the Commanders, mm-hmm. well, the Patriots view him as their number one quarterback. Do I need to start looking into J.J. McCarthy? Maybe it's a tactic for the Patriots to get a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels to fall to them at three, where perhaps if J.J. McCarthy goes higher than any of us expect, that there's a better quarterback that fall. I truly do not know. Overall, I think it's a good thing for the Titans.
Yeah.
Because the more quarterbacks that go before seven pushes better players that aren't quarterbacks to the Titans at seven. Mm-hmm. That pushes a Joe Alt potentially to you at seven, mm-hmm. or a Malik Nabers to you at seven, or that might afford you more comfort to trade down to 11 exactly. or 12 to some of these quarterback needy teams in Minnesota or Denver. But number one quarterback in the draft, like, we are in silly season. Mm-hmm. We are in anyone can say anything at this mm-hmm. point in the draft calendar, and it checks. Like, and it'll, like, you can say the craziest thing. Like, mm-hmm. last year was the S2 cognition score thing. That everyone was like, well, C.J. Stroud's not a very good quarterback because mm-hmm. the S2 cognition score said so. And this time last year, when everyone was placing money on Will Levis as the number one quarterback taken off the board because someone on Reddit said so. Mm-hmm. Like, we are in weird season, mm-hmm. silly season. We are truly in the twilight zone. And it'll only get worse the closer we get to the draft. So this is a warning that I'm heeding to all Titans fans mm-hmm. out there. There's going to be a lot of things mm-hmm. that are being said. Believe 0% of it.
Yeah, you can't believe any of it don't believe any of it until you actually see it happen.
Exactly.
You know, when I – if you're going – whether J.J. McCarthy is number one on the New England Patriots board or not, if it is, like you said, I think it helps the Titans because if these quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3, 4, mm-hmm. then that pushes one of the receivers and possibly even one of the tackles right to you where you can make a decision, or two of the tackles. And like you said, you can make a decision, well, you know what? I can move back a few spots, get some picks, and still be able to get one of the two guys that I want. But if you are a GM or a head coach, anybody, and you're allowing another team to dictate what you do. And what I mean is this: if you allow New England to have, if you allow New England's scouting and grade on J.J. McCarthy to affect you,
it'd be moronic.
It'd be moronic. Yeah. Like, why would you do that? Like, if you don't have him scouted in the top three, you shouldn't put him in the top three because New England just put him in the top three. Mm-hmm. You know, New England don't have a good track record the last couple of years with quarterbacks, okay?
So I wouldn't record with drafting in general.
I wouldn't look at them for anything when it comes to drafting. I wouldn't – if they got J.J. McCarthy number one, you know what? I'm running away.
Good.
Good. Y'all have number one. I'm going the opposite direction because what y'all been doing in the draft ain't been working, and I can tell. So, like you said, a lot of this is just let's throw something at the board and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And if it sticks – it'll mess everybody else up.
We're going to catch up with Elliot Friedman mm-hmm. coming up next. We'll get his perspective, the national perspective of what the Predators have done, how we went from Barry Trotz saying, you know, hold your expectations, to now this being a playoff team. So we'll catch up with Elliot coming up next. We'll have Ask D. Mace in 30 minutes. So get those questions in for D. Mace. Plus, we have got Predators playoff tickets to give away. We'll do that next hour. So be listening for your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to a Predators playoff game, the first Preds home playoff game. But first, a quick update from Augusta. Your update from Augusta is brought to you by Burger Republic. Go try their limited time green jacket burger for a true master's experience. An update from Augusta. In the lead is Bryson DeChambeau at an even par through three, tied with Max Homa, 2 under par, and Scotty Scheffler in third. That is your Augusta update, brought to you by Burger Republic.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.